Well, today, for those that's listening by tape, today is 9/11/05. And we could all talk about where were we 4 years ago today. I remember exactly where I was and exactly what was going on. We were on the road, and my daughter called and asked her mother. Her mother answered the cell phone and said, she said, "Where are you?" We're in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, headed west, and in a motel then. We weren't in the motor home, didn't have it. And, you know, and I didn't, you know, I was just kind of, I was shaving or something. I was over away from where my wife was. And about that time, she hollered, "Oh, my God, another plane." And I'm thinking, her husband worked for Delta. I thought something was going wrong here in Atlanta. But then we all found out the horrible news. In fact, I'd have been one to say that could never happen. We hear about terrorist threats, and we hear about it in other places, but that's not us. We hear about, you know, deaths in families, but that's not us, so we shrug it off. Not me. I'm not involved. That's our favorite word. I'm not involved. I don't want to be involved. Don't want to get around that. Well, 9/11 brought people together like never before. The only problem was it wore off after a while. Amen?
Amen.
After a while, we didn't fear the terrorists no more. We didn't fear anything anymore. We didn't need each other anymore. Now here we are with, what, Katrina? Is that right? Now we're faced with, I think, a worse disaster, much worse, because that was contained to two buildings, a lot of lives. I don't want to take anything away. And of course, the Pentagon and the heroes of flight, what was it in Pennsylvania, 93, whatever it was, and they are heroes. They saved hundreds of lives. That plane was headed for a building somewhere. We don't want to take away anything from that. But what I want to talk about tonight is, are you ready? Are you ready? I visualized sitting in the World Trade Center, just got into my office, typical day, you know, you may be putting your computer up. In my case, I'd be setting mine in the docking station and booting it up and whatever. Can you imagine just something caused you to look out the window and there's a nose of a 767 coming? And you got about that long, and you were dead. I don't know, and we'll never know, because we won't be able to talk to them until we get to heaven. Hopefully we'll see them. I just kind of doubt that we'd think about praying. I mean, what could you say? I'm from South Georgia. We're kind of slow anyway. You know, some of you Yankees can't pray that fast. He was talking about Mo a while ago when she worked in the office. She's from New York. And sometimes I say, "Mo, put that on 33 and a third and say it again." Slow down a little bit. The more excited she got, the faster she got, right? And she's excited about the Lord. She's driving right now across country. Wonderful Christian lady. Single mother and her wonderful friend. But I just kind of, you know, if you wasn't already ready and you were sitting in that office building or in New Orleans or somewhere, and although they had warning in New Orleans, they had warning that the tornado was coming. We didn't know it was going to do all that, but we knew it was coming. A lot of people left. We go around and talk to drivers today, and I'm 50-some-odd years old. I'll be 58 years old in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And young compared to an oak tree. But all of my life, or the little time I was in church, I heard Jesus is coming.
Yes.
Ever since I can remember, going to church with my mom. With my mom, it wasn't optional. You was going to church Sunday morning, like it or not. If she was alive today and you spent Saturday night at her house, Sunday morning, you're going to church.
Amen.
Period. You know, and I'm glad she made me go, even though I despised it at the time. When in 1971, when I was to come back to Christ, when my world had fell apart and all those things had happened to me that's described in there a little bit, I knew where I needed to go. There's a song about I have returned to the God of my mother. In other words, my mom stood on God's infallible, inerrant, indestructible Word of God and raised six boys by herself. Right. Daddy died when I was three. But all this time, I heard people, preachers saying, Jesus is coming soon. The world's coming to an end. How many has heard that?
Yes.
How many? Is there anybody here older than I am, older than 58? How old are you, brother?
69.
You've heard it longer than I have, haven't you? Did you know what, though? It's true.
It is true.
It's still true. Yeah. Now, the reason I mention all that is our senses become dull sometimes. Well, turn to James chapter 4, if you would. Page 262 in the little book. We're reading out of the New International Version tonight. If you want the King James to take with you, we'll gladly trade because I want you to have one in the truck with you. And let me say this to this couple over here. I thank God to see y'all walk across the parking lot with a Bible in your hand.
Amen.
That blessed me. Blessed me. Of course, I said that one time to a driver, and he said, my logbook. And I said, oh, well, that's considerably different. It needs a Bible in there with it. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Mine has a subheading, that might, on page 262. It says, boasting about tomorrow. And I want to read just a little bit here, and we'll go to some more. We're going to jump around a lot, so I got the page number for you. James 4, 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow. This to me sounds so much like trucking. I mean, this sounds just like trucking. You're here today and gone tomorrow, gone to somewhere else, and right?
Yes.
Some of you are delivering here tomorrow, and some are loading here tomorrow, hopefully, loading tomorrow. And heaven knows where you'll be this time next week. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, for years, you know, I lived like that and never thought about it. It's one load, then another load, then another load. But listen to what James said. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there. Of course, we hope we don't do that trucking, but carry on business and make money. Hallelujah. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. Notice he said, you are a mist. I'm a mist that appears for a little while, then it vanishes. Even in our older age, and we got workers in this ministry, by the way, in their 80s, and you can't drive them away with a lead pipe. They spent 3 days, the one I'm thinking about spent 3 days with us at the Dallas Truck Show every day, all day long. My adopted daddy, Daddy Jack in Fort Worth, Texas, and Mama Sarah was there with us.
Mm-hmm.
What is your life? Even though Daddy Jack is, I think, 82 or 83, but it's still just a mist, just a vapor in regards to eternity. It says instead, verse 15, you ought to say if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, does what? Sin. If we know to do good and we don't do it, we sin. Sin of omission instead of commission, but sin nevertheless. I think he's talking to Christians here, really. I know he's talking to Joe Hunter here. I know he's talking to me. James is a tell it like it is book. If you don't want your proverbial feet stomped on, you better not get in that book. I'm telling you. I got scars all over me from reading that book. But you know what? If I'm never corrected, I'll never grow.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I need a lot of that growing.
Yes.
You know, I've been born again since December 1971, and And sometimes I think, have I learned anything at all? You know? I'm amazed at the goof-ups I can do.
Amen.
You know? About the time we think we've got this flesh under control, it'll show you something. And our senses get dull, though, about heaven. We get dull about, is there really a heaven? Now in our culture today, there's lies. Well, turn to page 270, just a little ways from there. Let's see what Peter had to say about where I think we are today. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 on page 270. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He's going to tell us about 2005. He said, but there were also false prophets among the people. Were, as in before, right? Just as there will be false teachers among you. Now, if you don't think there's going to be, you're dreaming. And if you think everybody that stands behind a pulpit is telling you the truth, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Amen.
And the problem of it is, though, is if we're not, if our senses had become dull to the fact that Jesus is coming soon, that this world's coming to an end, we're not going to be paying so much attention to what they're teaching us. In fact, I heard a message not long ago, and I hate to admit this, but I was quite impressed with the message, and I asked where I was at, could I have a copy of it, of course, and I bought a copy of it. And I went down the road, and my wife and I were in the coach, and we put the tape in there, you know, listen to it again. I don't know where he got it, but Charles Stanley used to say that you need to listen to it 17 times. Mm-hmm. Now, where he got 17, I don't know. But, you know, you need to hear it 17 times to get the full effect, he used to say. Well, as I was listening to it and listening to it, I heard some things that blew my mind that I had missed the first round. You hear what I'm saying? We need to pay attention to what we're being taught. Now, if you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to know the difference whether I'm telling you the truth or not. Whose fault is that? Ours. God gave us the Word. He gave us that. And I used to despise, Brother Ken, I used to despise it when somebody never drove a truck tell me how to drive. That's always the one that gives you advice. Amen?
Yeah.
Right? Men and women. They stand out there and do this, you know. And I walk back and say, listen, I can run over enough by myself. Just run for your life. You know? And then you have the false teachers that Peter wrote about here. They don't know Jesus from a sack of salt. And if you listen close to what they're saying, for instance, in our travels, Jan and I have the honor and the privilege and the blessing to be able to travel around to all these locations that we work with, thanks to the generosity of a person, one man, called us up and gave us a 40-foot motorhome. 2 years ago, next month, just gave it to us. Said, I believe God wants me to give you my motorhome. And I said, who am I to complain? One of the chaplains, by the way, I got to share this on tape too. One of the chaplains this trip told me that a driver came in and he said, I could never have nothing to do with truck stop ministry. And the chaplain said, what did we do? What's wrong? He said, well, they ride around that big old fancy motorhome all the time. He said, well, it was free. It was given to us. It didn't cost nothing. He said, they still shouldn't have it. So I guess if we had a broke down something or other, I would call a name, but you might be driving one of them. It's amazing. It's amazing. People get their eyes on stuff. Now, we, by the same token, can't get our eyes on it and make an idol out of it. It's just a thing. In other words, it's just equipment. Everything we have here, we have it for a very short time. He told us there in James that our life is but a vapor, just a mist, here today and gone tomorrow. And then Peter writes and says, now, be careful. Well, let's go on down here, verse 2. No, we didn't finish verse 1. I'll start over. But there will also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has been long hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. In other words, God is watching. And woe be to me if I were to tell you something false. In fact, Paul said you shouldn't even want to be a teacher, because of the awesome responsibility that's there. I don't approach this lightly, folks. I really, really don't. But there's some things out there that you need to be aware of. For instance, there's a group saying that you don't need to repent of your sins to be born again. Now, that's how slick, if I may use that term, Satan can be. In other words, if he can get you to where you don't repent, you're not saved and you're going to hell. It's just that simple. But now you've believed a lie that somebody somewhere with charisma, as they say, in other words, somebody, you know, you follow naturally, and some people have that ability, that I don't know, whatever, I call it charisma. And we believe them and never study it. I beg you, I don't care who you're listening to as a Bible teacher, get the Word of God and make sure that it's coming from there. I don't care if it's me or Billy Graham or anybody in between. And that's a long ways. I don't believe that Dr. Graham, I believe I can say this, I've never met him, of course. I don't believe he'd mind you walking up and say, where did you get that? I don't think that'd bother him at all. Because he would show you in the infallible Word of God where it came from. Just like I would. It doesn't ever bother me. It doesn't offend me. I get calls sometimes that people have picked up the tapes and they listen to them and they call me with questions and I give them scripture. Because if I can't give you scripture, then something's wrong. And I may say, now, this is my opinion, but I make that clear. This is only my opinion. Do not base your life on my opinion or nobody else's. Then we got a hold of one. It's a chaplain at a truck stop, and I won't say where. He talked about coming under the umbrella of TMI. So we sent him our information. He sent us his. That's fine. He's wrote a tract that says, hell is not forever.
Oh my goodness.
What part of eternal did you miss? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not gossiping because I'm not going to tell you who it is. Mm-hmm. Be aware. Mm-hmm. Peter said that they would come in and teach, what he said in verse 1, secretly introducing destructive heresies. Boy, if that ain't destructive, I don't know what is. Hell, my friend, is forever. We're all going to live forever somewhere, either heaven or hell, one or the other. And it's your choice and my choice. You're not forced to do anything. I run up on a group that says there's a certain group picked out that's going to heaven and nobody else is going to go. Well, in that case, what are we doing all this for? You know, really, think about it. What's the point? Why are you preaching to me if I'm either in the clique or I'm out of the clique? That don't make sense. That's not scriptural. And I challenge them, say, I'm from Missouri. You'll have to show me. A little bit stubborn here. Show me. You know, where'd you get? And I don't do that publicly to embarrass nobody, but I'll guarantee you, I'll try to get along with that person and say, show me where you got that. And I've never had one to show me scripture on any of it. Of course, because it's not there. It's not there. Are we ready to meet Jesus, or because of all this stuff that we're hearing, has our senses become dull and where it just we just don't even think about it no more? Think about that. A lot of people are saying, what happened to the Gulf Coast? What? Why? Where was God? Where was God? I was asked that 100 times about 9/11. Where was God? I said, He was exactly where you put Him, just as far from you as you could get Him. That's where God was. That's where God is. Okay? Now, we know it rains on the just and the unjust. There's a lot of wonderful people that got affected by the storm and by 9/11, of course. It's inevitable, right? It's inevitable. But the wonderful part about that is, if you're born again, you just got promoted. I mean, you know. I was happy to tell those doctors that was about to do the ablation on my heart back in December. And by the way, my heart doctor said, I don't need to see you no more. Hallelujah. To my wife's dismay, he said, eat more salt. I'm a saltaholic, and my wife's always saying, you eat too much salt. And my heart doctor said, you need to eat more salt. I said, hallelujah. High five.
Give me his number.
Yeah. But, you know, when they were strapping me down, and by the way, I was claustrophobic before I got saved. It would have never worked. They'd had knocked me out. I mean, they strapped me. I couldn't even flinch. I couldn't move a muscle at all because they run it in the groin, you know, and up through there and into the heart. I was watching it on a monitor. He said, you want to watch? I said, absolutely. He said, watch that screen right there. I said, I'll do that. Because I was fading in and out. But before they did that, I said, I want to tell you something. If something goes wrong, everything's okay. Don't come here with no resuscitation. And they kind of laughed. I said, no. My wife's sitting out there in the waiting room with the living will in her pocket that says, leave me alone.
Amen.
Don't hook it up to me. Then nobody has to decide to unhook it.
Yes.
Of course, rats, I'm still here.
Yeah, right.
In a way. Of course, I want to see my grandchildren grow up and all that, and God's got a lot for us to do. Yes, but it's good to know in your heart. And I mean, when you get right down to it, you're not around a bunch of Christian friends right now. You're on the coldest bed that's ever been, by the way. I ain't never laid on nothing so cold in my life. But anyway, but in my heart, you know, the precious, fresh, anointed word of God was flowing through my mind. And I could hear that song in my mind. It is well with my soul. You know, it don't matter which way it goes. But if we mess around and let our senses become dull, you know, will we be ready? Turn to Romans, page 171, Romans chapter 1. We're going to jump around a little bit. Could it be, people are saying, what happened and where's God? Could it be that he just turned us over to the King James used the word in Romans 1, reprobate mind. I like that word. It's a lot of strength in that. You know? Reprobate. Wow, what a word. Could it be, Romans 1, 21. Back up at verse 18 in little Bibles like mine, it'll have God's wrath against mankind. Could it be we're experiencing that? Could it be that God said enough? Now, please understand, if you're from New Orleans and there'll be people listening to this tape, I'm not gossiping or talking about your city, but it's a common knowledge. There's a lot of witchcraft going on in that city. That's one of the cities that's noted for that. There's wonderful people in New Orleans, don't get me wrong. Wonderful people. Got friends down there, all over that area. But it's also noted to be, just like San Francisco is noted, but there's wonderful Christian people there too. Could it be, though, that God just pulled back and let us do? I think Romans 1 would say something like what our mind just led us to do. Whatever. God says, okay, you don't want me. You don't want me in your school. You don't want nobody to pray. Can't pray publicly. We had the thing at the courthouse in Butts County where I live down here in Jackson, and the Chamber of Commerce called me to lead it. We were going to have prayer for our troops. It was all about the troops, past, present, and future. And I said to them, ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. All this going around about praying on the courthouse, I don't know any other way to pray but in the name of Jesus. I ain't going to pray any other way.
Amen.
And we're going to call God, not a higher being. Mm-hmm. It's God. He's my
Amen.
Father.
Amen.
He said, do what you want to do.
Praise the Lord.
And I didn't get out there to make a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, we to go to God the Father through Jesus Christ His Son. Right? And the third party lives in me, called the Holy Spirit. Lives in every born-again Christian. Romans 1, let's see. It said, for although they knew God, Romans 1:21, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Could that be America today? Could that be me? Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles and trucks and four-wheelers and motorcycles and boats. Hello?
Yes, sir.
And I got some of that stuff. Okay? I'm talking about all of us now. Not God wants us to have nice things, but the things can't have us. I'll never forget a lawyer in Atlanta, Linwood Maddox, many years ago, he used to say, you can drive a Cadillac as long as a Cadillac don't drive you. And I will never forget that statement, because that was those times back in those days in the early years when we were chasing that almighty dollar. Born again, love God, and my thought then of prosperity meant a big house, a big car, a lot of money. I was mistaken. I know people with a big house, big car, and a lot of money, and they don't have prosperity, but they don't know Jesus.
Amen.
Hello? I also know people with gazillions of dollars, big house, cars, etc., but it means nothing to them. He's everything.
Yes.
So how much we have or don't have is not even relevant. Again, in our being ready, our senses may get dull. We got looking at our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even God's blessings can turn into a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah.
Because God gave it to me, you know, and He's blessed us with a lot of things. Me and you and everybody in this room is blessed, powerfully blessed. Man, are we ever blessed. But we should never take Him or none of it for granted. Where is that? He says here in Romans chapter 1. Drop on down. I won't read it all. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind, this says. King James says, reprobate mind, to do what ought not to be done. God said, hey, if that's what you want, Lester Gregory, I love you, but go ahead. We have a 36-year-old son that's not living for the Lord right now. I got one or two options. Go handcuff him and to a pole somewhere. You know, that won't work. Why? Because he's an adult. He makes decisions. And he lives with the ramifications of those decisions. God loves us enough to let us do what we want to do. Now, he'll try. He'll put stumbling blocks out there, and he will convict you and everything else, but he will not force you to do nothing. Sometimes I wish he would. Man, I wish he would just stop me from making mistakes, but he won't. Now, I don't mean nothing as obvious as robbing a bank or shooting somebody or committing adultery. Those are easy to not do, right? But what about the little thing? What about anger? Rage. Hello. Man. I don't know about you, but Jan used to look at me and say, "You know, it's bad nobody knows how to drive but you." I said, "You know, you noticed that too, did you?" Hard to get that flesh under control sometimes. Now, you don't have that problem, I'm sure. Nah. But I bet you got another problem that I probably don't have. That's why we need one another. That's why we can never become complacent with where we are with God. We're always in need. What's that old song? It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Everybody, Bob Harrington used to say, the Bourbon Street preacher, how many remembers him? He used to say, people talk to him about, he said, "I'm going to pray for you." He'd say, "That's good. I need the prayer and you need to practice." I used to ask people to pray for me, but you know what? I don't do that so much anymore. Because what are you praying? I've had people come to me and say, "I want to pray for you." And I say, "What are you going to pray?"
Yes.
Hold on a minute. What are you going to pray?
Amen.
Be careful. Mm-hmm. Be careful. We live in a sin-sick world. All right, you say, "Well, I'm ready. I'm born again. Hallelujah, if this building fell down right now, we'd go home to be with Jesus." If I walk out the door and have a massive heart attack, hit the ground, I go home. No problem. Okay? Great. Can we say what Paul said in Romans 1:16? He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Thank God for walking across the parking lot with Bibles. Thank God for people have cross in the grill. Thank God for flyers or tracks, or we got oodles of tracks and tapes over here that need to be in truck drivers' hands. They're not doing anybody any good over here. We go over our budget at the office, and I think, my Lord, I wish we were spending more money on this stuff. Not to waste it. I learned something about the Gideons this time too that I appreciate them more all the time. They don't put nothing down for you to pick up. They hand it to you. Every Bible they give away. What did he tell me? They give away a Bible every 1.2 seconds or something like that. My God, can you imagine that? We were bragging because we gave away 10,000 last year. They do that in a couple of minutes. I mean, wow. Wow. And it's not on a shelf somewhere hoping somebody will pick it up. That's how many they've handed to somebody individually. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but. Now, no, everybody's not called. Like Brother Ken walked up to the driver out there and started a conversation, prayed with him. You may not be comfortable doing that, but you've got a ministry somewhere to do. You don't need chaplain on your shirt. You don't need reverse in front of your name. That's what REV is, isn't it? A lady looked at my card one day. She said, "What's this REV mean?" I said, "Reverse." Sometimes I feel like I'm going backwards. You don't need none of that. I thank God that Dr. Brian Lee, many years ago, ordained me into the ministry in 1980, to be exact. August of 1980. But I don't need that piece of paper. Okay? You don't need a piece of paper. All you need to know is Jesus Christ. Look at Acts. I'm going to try to get through here. Acts chapter 5, page 139. You say, "I'm ready to meet Jesus." But you know the problem. we have a problem when we're born again. It's going to be wild. What happens the second we're born again? The second that I repent of my sin, Brother Gregory, If I was to fall dead right after that, what would happen? Go into heaven, right?
Yes, sir.
But I didn't, did I?
That's right.
And nobody in this room did. The problem I find is we're ready to go to heaven, but we're not ready to live. Think about it. Especially if you was on in years before you got saved or born again, you had got into some kind of different lifestyle. Every one of us was different. But we had formed a lot of habits that's very, very bad. Amen?
Yeah.
It might be cussing. It might be whatever we want to label as a habit. But all of us had something. I was born again for 5 long years before I got a handle on pornography. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. Well, I guess it was, really, when you really get down to it. Oh, I wouldn't buy it no more because I was a Christian. But I knew where every truck stop was that had the racks. Had Trucking for Jesus on my truck. Had a big dove on the hood of it. Had Jesus is Lord on all the mud flaps. Walk in there, and it was like a magnet. I understand alcoholic. I've never been an alcoholic. I was into dope. But I can understand how alcoholic, Brother Ken, a bar or a liquor store or something is like a magnet. I understand that. I can't point my finger at him or her because I had another problem. That he or she would look at me and say, that's not a problem. How could you be addicted to that? Very simple. That's what my flesh liked. And 5 years later, I'm sitting, how many knows where Ranger Hill is in Texas? On I-20. Used to be a truck stop out there. I'll never forget it. Got back in my truck and was sitting there crying, weeping, saying, God, why? Why? You took drugs, alcohol, stuff I could name off. When I stood up from that old-fashioned altar, there wasn't a bit of influence or drugs in my body. I cannot tell you how that happened, but it was gone, completely gone. And that's physically impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I sat there that night, and I wept, and I said, God, why don't you take this? In his loving, kind way, he said, you don't want me to. You don't want me to, so I can't. Just like in Romans 1, he said, Joe, if that's what you want, as bad as I hate it, then you go ahead. He's commissioned all of us to witness everywhere we go, either in person, with tracts, some kind of way. Your attitude's your best witness. You know what's a great witness to, ladies and gentlemen? Mr. and Ms. Trucker, you know what a great witness is? It's when you tip the waitress. Mm-hmm. You say, now, wait a minute. And if I can tip, anybody can. Gravedigger and I run double for a while on my truck, and he used to say, you can squeeze the penny till Abraham cries tears in your pocket. A little bit tight. Conservative, I like to think. He said, you just flat stingy. I learned something, though. Did I sit there and tell this lady that's on minimum pay scale, right? Probably a single mom, we'll say the worst possible situation, and I'm telling her all about Jesus and how she ought to live for Jesus, and I get up and walk off and not leave her nothing. What do you reckon she thought of me and my God? Think about it. Things like that. You can witness in a lot of ways, but God has called us to do that. If we say we're not ashamed of the gospel, then let's show it. Acts 5:40-42. Let's do read that one. That was page 139. Thank you. Say we're okay. We're ready. We're ready to die. Now, are we ready to live? Are we ready to witness and be used by God? Here's the situation. The apostles, the disciples, Christians in trouble again. Been witnessing again. Verse 40 said, and this guy was speaking in their behalf, basically, and said, leave them alone. If it's not God, it'll die away. If it is God, you'll be in trouble to mess with it. That kind of thing. Verse 40 says, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. If you don't know what that is, they were beat. Listen, we won't even witness on the radio or in person for fear somebody might not like us. Hello? We're afraid somebody's going to cuss at us. Hey, I'm like Jerry Clower said, jump in here amongst them. Some of us will get some relief, you know. I love it when Leroy Brown says, where are you at? You know, I like that. That turns me on. I say, I'm over here in this motorhome with truck stop ministries all over, but you can't miss it. Better yet, I'll come to where you at. We'll talk about Jesus. And of course they say, I'll do this, I'll do that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's find out. Let's find out if this is really true, because the Word of God says in Psalm 91 that you can't do that. And I'd be happy to come over there and we'll both find out for real right now, is it true or not? That's a little flaky, isn't it? No, I believe it's true. I bet my life on it. I don't care what I see or feel or hear, this is not incorrect. And Psalm 91 says, I am protected. That's kind of paraphrasing the 16 verses. They called the apostles in, had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Listen now, verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Hello, you're talking about flaky? Rejoicing because they've been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. What name? Notice that word name has a capital N. Who is that? Jesus, that's right. Day after day in the temple courts. Now notice how they hid and done it. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Hello? Truck drivers are the greatest evangelists the world's ever known. Who do you drive for?
CFI.
CFI is paying you to be in full-time ministry. Do you know that?
I'm going to do that anyway.
That's right. Amen. God is providing. I used to say, if I could just get to full-time ministry, I think God was saying all the time, well, when aren't you? I thought you was. You know. But CFI is paying you. Whoever's driving, whoever you're driving for, folks, whoever you work for, just look at it like this. God's using them to pay you to get where he wants you to be. I used to let the dispatcher think that he actually sent me where I went. God done it. Because I prayed, said, Lord, where you want me to go? I'm ready. Ready for dispatch. And of course, then you get the load to where you don't want to go and you say, now listen, God, don't get cute. Had my own rig in those days and went to New Orleans and unload and go back over to Gulfport, load bananas. Some of y'all might have done that. And you know, I'd always go to Kansas or back to Georgia. And the lady dispatcher over there said, all I got is a couple of those going to Chicago. And I kind of snickered. Said, well, thank you. Hung the phone up. As soon as I hung the phone up, God said, take that Chicago load. I thought, get behind me, Satan. This can't be God. Surely not. There's a whole fleet of trucks out of Chicago, at least refrigerated at the time. And I thought, surely goodness, some of them got to be in this area somewhere. And they're going home. I don't want to deprive them, Lord, of the home, you know. Called compromise, I think. It's called get me what I want and leave me alone. And I thought, well, I'll wait till just before she goes home this afternoon. I'll call back and getting religious here. I said, Lord, if it ain't covered by then, I'll take it. I know There's at least 100 trucks out of Chicago down there all the time. Load ain't going to be there. I don't care if I don't get a load. I don't want that load. I called back. She said, well, all I got is that one Chicago left. And it's got two drops on it. Could have got the one with one if you hadn't. So, okay. I said, I'll take it. And dead silence on the phone. She knows me, right? Donna. She said, what'd you say? I said, I'll take that Chicago. Joe Hunter, you're going to Chicago? I said, that's what I said. I don't want to, but. And all the way up there, I was rejoicing in the Lord, saying, what on earth is going on, God?
Yeah, really.
No, I wasn't rejoicing at all.
No.
I'd have drugged my feet if there'd been a way to do that. But when I got there, spent the whole weekend at Calumet City. What a way to spend the weekend. Especially if you're from South Georgia and hadn't had no grits in two or three days, things get kind of shaky. Yeah. But God sent me there, and I met two people during the course of that weekend. I talked to a lot of people, of course, because by then I had repented and asked God to forgive me for my attitude and please use me. Please use me, Lord. Please let me be used by you. And pulled in there and fueled up the reefer, and the guy that pumped it, this is old when somebody pumps your fuel, come to think of it. I said, how's it going? He said, well, not so good. He said, I'm going in the hospital next week for my heart. He said, I'm really scared. I said, well, let me talk to you about your heart.
Yes, amen.
So we stood there and ministered to that young man on the fuel island. I said, God, this is good.
Yes, amen.
It's worth it. Are we ready to live for him? Are we ready to be the minister that God's called us to be? And by the way, it don't matter if you're male, female, you're called into the ministry of some kind.
Yes, amen.
Doing something.
Yes.
Are you ready? Number one, and I don't believe in scare tactics, okay? I was raised in a mama's church, and I ain't going to go there. But anyway, it's a scare tactic. That's all I can say. I was sure I was going to be dead in hell before I was 5 years old. I mean, you know, because they said if you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you do that, you're going to hell. If you don't do this, I figured, well, here we go. And no, we can't live up to nobody's expectations. Amen? That's what grace is about. You know what? God saved me knowing I was going to mess up. You know that? And he loves you knowing that you're going to mess up. You don't even know it yet. That's my cop-out prayer, you know, when Satan beat me over the head over something I've done. I know you don't ever have that happen, but when Satan beat me over the head, I just say, well, God, you knew I was going to do that, and you love me anyway. I don't understand that, God. I'm just thankful, and I receive that grace. But tonight, if you were to drop dead, heard about a young man, 36 years old, last week, dropped dead. We have no promise of tomorrow. Not a scare tactic, please understand. You may live to be 120, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that, to tell you the truth. We may get to see you again at another truck stop somewhere, but then again, you might read my obituary column. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's all right.
Amen.
I want to witness for God. I want to do all I can for him. We begin to talk about retirement. As old as I'm getting, that word has a whole different meaning than it did 20 years ago. It don't sound as crazy as it used to. Retire from ministry, not a chance. Not a chance. Change positions, quite possible. Everybody called a ministry. Now, let me ask you this, though. If you were to die, do you know, and don't answer me, just think about it. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you go to heaven? If you don't, if you want to, I'm going to show you how you can know. I had a preacher tell me not long ago, Brother Ken, you can't be really sure. I thought, my God, if you're not sure, I'm not sure, I know.
Amen.
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 Somebody said, Chaplain Joe, do you believe the Bible's true? I said, no.
Amen.
And they looked at me like, what? I said, I know it is.
Yes, amen.
I've tried it. It works.
Amen.
It's never failed one time. I failed a lot of times. It has never failed, not once. It's infallible, it's inerrant, and it's indestructible. So no matter what I see, feel, or hear, I go by what this is. Tonight, I want you to turn one more scripture. I want to show you something. 272. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is my plan of salvation in a nutshell, I call it. Yes, I know the Romans road that we got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to know that God the Father sent Jesus down here and he lived approximately 33 years. He died and 3 days later he was raised from the dead. How many in here believe that? Raise your hand. You really believe that? Okay, we got that established. But believing that is not quite enough. Satan believes. The Bible says the demons believe and tremble. Wow. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, in conjunction with our wonderful scripture in Romans. Somebody read verse 9 for me, good and loud. The next verse, verse 9. Yeah. It says, if we confess our sins, right? He is faithful. I lost my place. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will do what? And what else? And purify us. King James says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Purify us. I like that word purify. That's just such a good feeling to me. Because he did a purification process on me. Probably took a while. I hear the word sanctification or sanctify, and that's a process, right? We're growing in Christ. But he promises here, if we confess our sins, now read that backwards. If we don't confess our sins, he won't forgive us. In fact, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall perish. Period. And that's what I shared with the brother, I won't say where, that said I didn't need to repent of my sins. I said, what do you do with this?
Yes.
This is Jesus talking. This is red in my Bible, color red. I mean, what are you going to do with that? He said, that's not in John.
What?
I said, there's 65 more books you need to look at. I love John. That's one of my favorites, my favorite gospel to read. Folks, we need to repent of our sins. If you've done that, if you're living for God, then great. I'm going to close by praying a simple little prayer based on this scripture. And if you mean this prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody to pray it with me out loud. I want to ask you to pray with your heads up and eyes open. I want you to get used to that. If you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. That motorhome can't catch you, I'll tell you. And don't get on your knees because you might not can see over the dash. But you know, in all seriousness, though, we can pray anytime. I go down the road talking to God. That's prayer, ain't it? We talk to God. How many times we shut up and listen? Hello. And I know I'm the one, you know. I'm the microwave Christian. I come to him with a list of needs and I expect results. Don't work like that sometimes, does it? But if you pray this prayer with me, God has convicted you of something in your life maybe. Maybe nobody on earth knows about but you. But If God brought something to your attention, confess that to Him, not to me. Won't do any good to tell me. But He said right there He'd forgive us and forget it. Hebrews 8:12 says, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. God literally forgets that you've ever sinned. Isn't that awesome? People say, God can't forget. He can. He can do anything He wants to. He don't do it like I do it. I forget because I'm just forgetful. He decides to forget. That's what He said. Turn over there and look. Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 both say, I remember your sins and iniquities no more. Tonight, if you mean from your heart what we pray in this prayer, God will forgive you and set you free, and you'll be ready to go home to be with Jesus and start your new ministry. You say, well, I'm born again. Perhaps you need to pray this prayer and ask God to forgive you for being lax. Perhaps you need to say, God, I really haven't been a witness that I should be. I know I need to say that. I want to do more and more and more. The biggest danger in a Christian life is becoming complacent. Oh, my. Oh, my. I don't ever want him to say, well, Joe, if that's what you want, you just go ahead, son. Mm-mm. That song, Draw Me Nearer. Draw Me Nearer. That's what I want. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to be able to walk into heaven straight up, not back in, as some people jokingly say, right? Pray this with me. You say, well, let me put one more here. I'm not interested. Not interested. Well, would you please do it for the sake of somebody close to you? I'm not going to call you up front. You can come up front. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I promise you that. Some of your foreheads are like billboards. God shows me things while you're sitting there. God taught me to look in people's eyes. That's where the truth is. This thing down here is not necessarily truthful all the time, but the eyes don't lie. And I want you to know I love you in the Lord, and I hope that you make a commitment right here. You got to come tell me about it. You're telling Him. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Your word says, if I confess, you'll forgive me and you'll forget it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of all my sin. I am now a born again child of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much to give your life that I could live. Now anoint me to speak your word with boldness. Help me understand your word. When I read your word, I will read your word, and I'll pray every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we promised God we're going to do it every day. We're going to do it every day we can. The only problem with that is He knows whether we really could or not. I've had many, many drivers call me on the prayer line, and they're Christians. They love the Lord, and their life is in total disarray. And I say, when's the last time you read the Bible? Oh, well, last week sometime. When's the last time you prayed? Oh, a week or so ago. I say, what if you didn't fuel the truck no more often than you read the Bible? Well, it would run out. I said, bingo. You're a Christian, but your spiritual life has run out of fuel. Yes. Nothing but the Word of God will refuel it either. Amen. Thanks. I appreciate people listening to the teaching tape. And I listen to tapes, but that won't take the place of this. Never will.